This next session is going to be presented by Andy Wu and Randall Tan. In 2004, Andy joined the Asia Bible Society in order to work full-time on Bible translation. Since then, he has been using computational methods to conduct linguistic analysis of the Bible in both original texts and the translations, and develop tools for Bible translation. Randall's a linguist for the Asia Bible Society. His main responsibilities are to edit and manage the Asia Bible Society's Greek Syntactic Tree Bank of New Testament and Hebrew Syntactic Tree Bank of the Old Testament. Andy and Randall will be co-presenting a data-driven approach to word sense differentiation. Let's give a warm welcome to Andy and Randall.
Okay, actually, we presented a version of this at the last SBL, but that was a very, since time is very short and with a very small audience, so we did a very simplified one. So today, I hope I can have some time to go into the details. So, and actually, also since then, I have completely changed my algorithm. So it's totally new. So, but it looks the same topic, but I'm using a different algorithm to do this. Okay, so we're going to talk about word sense detection and word sense disambiguation. So, through data mining, okay, it's automatic. So the motivations, so I talk about the motivations for doing this, then the problems with existing word sense data, then the most time was spent on the data mining approach, then hopefully have some time for demo and discussion. So as I remember the last Bible Tech, I talk about the synonyms, I think. That's one meaning, many words. And today I'm talking about the opposite one. It's a one word, many meanings. Okay, so it's one. So I'm dealing with the issue of polysemy. So this, this request came up in our Bible translation. So our translators came to me and asked, well, you know, you gave us those, translation memory, the concordance and the search, But sometimes I have too long a list to go through. The concordance, a word, some words, it's a long list. But I'm only interested in this sense of the word. Can you just give me a short list of this, okay? And also they, when they're doing, unification, they try to unify the translations to be consistent, okay? And so I have developed tools for them to checking the consistency of the translations. But they say, well, yeah, why do you have to unify those two translations? They belong to different senses, you know? They shouldn't be translated the same way, you know? So all these things, you better tell us, instead of just a word, but tell me the which sense of the word we are talking about, right? In the unification, in concordance, like that, okay. So, also in Bible search, and sometimes we get too many results because we are not distinguishing different senses of a word. So our goals, actually it's two goals at the same time. We do one task to solve two problems at the same time. So the first one is word sense detection. Okay, so it's the question for each content word in the Bible, find out how many senses it has. Okay, basically, the question is how many senses, okay? The second one is the word sense disambiguation. So this is then for each instance of the word. So in every place this word occurs, okay? Find out which of the senses it has. So this the two problems at the same time. So just for the picture, I think you all got it. But so word sense detection, so we given this this Hebrew word, and maybe it has at least maybe four different senses. And in sense one, there may be some minor differences. Still, actual senses, it's a probabilistic thing. Now you can, different granularities. So you can say sense one, still you can say, within this, you have one, which is the beginning, also means the first. It's basically the same thing. Then the second one, you can say the first fruits, firstborn. Then three is like a best, choicest, and four, foremost, something like that. That's what we're going after. So for each word, we want to get a picture like this, okay? And then we go into the Bible, and we find each instance, each occurrence of the same word. And you want to point out, okay, so in here, this word in this context, in this verse, it means beginning, and here it means first fruits, and here it means best, here it means foremost. So this is our goal, so we're trying to do, okay? So the problem with extincting, of course, we already have like different senses. If you go to dictionaries, like Haylock, I mean, they give you senses. The problem is that if you go to different dictionaries, they have different division, different sense divisions, and there's no consensus on like how many people can argue in forever. I think I thought discussing Randall. Randall, it's very hard to agree on some how many senses the word has. And also, another thing is that although they have, in the dictionaries, you have those different senses listed, and also they give examples like this. In sense one, you can find in there are these verses, okay, or sense two, these verses. But the listing is not exhaustive, okay? They were just examples, but not the complete. So, but to do, you know, the complete inference, something, complete automatic reasoning that Josh just talked about, we need to have complete data. So every word, you have to know which sense it has, right? So, it's a huge task. And so first, how can we do it? So I just, this is a, so I say, well, if you're doing it manually, we'll be several problems. First, it'll be subjective, you know, and I and Randall cannot agree, you know, which, and then this can be inconsistent. People, as you well know, also time consuming. I cannot afford the time. So I said, well, let me try something simple, something, I'll cheat a little bit, see what I can do, okay. So I use this data mining approach. So, okay. So then in the rest, I'll discuss explain this, and then I'll talk about the theoretical assumption behind this. Then the data used for mining, then the machine learning procedures. Then we'll discuss the advantages and limitations of the approach. Then finally, I'll show you a tool for sense exploration. Okay, the theoretical assumption, it's a very naive one, actually, everyone knows this. So, okay, so translators presumably use different target language words to translate different senses of a Hebrew or Greek word, okay? People, they just subconsciously doing this. So in other words, translators have done the job of disambiguation subconsciously and define each sense with the target language words. Okay, so this is kind of ideal situation. So you can say, oh yeah. So they when they say, oh, they find different sense, they use a different English word to translate. So if they did it perfectly and completely consistently, then the problem is solved. It's already defined. Like for each word already have a label, an English label, say which sense it is, right? So anyway. This is from Logos. I stole from Logos 4. So how we do it automatically? So the data we need just this interlinear data. So just like using this interlinear here. So basically, translation linked word to word to the original Hebrew Greek text. So we just need to, this is all the data we need. Okay. And then. The task is this. So then, you have a text, and the A stands any Hebrew word, a given Hebrew word. So it occurs in all those different places, right, in the text. So what we want to do is, let me see if I can do this. Yeah, so they mean the same thing. These instances all mean the same thing. It's one sense, right, and then you can, then you can say, oh, these actually they go together, you know. Yeah. Anyway, you got the idea. So until you group everything into the circles, and then if we have this, the problem is solved. Okay. First, we know the how many senses there are. Okay. We also know which instance we know which group it belongs to. Let's put on glasses. And so if you have a simple naive approach, so we have an English translation. So these are the corresponding, say, English words. that occurred, that translates those words in the text. So it's very simple, right? So then you can just say, oh, we found a beginning. So we have a beginning here, a beginning here, beginning. Yeah, so I have found another beginning here. And it's fine, it's not so easy to do here. Yeah, you got, so this is a, so this is a one sense. Okay, these instances belong to this sense. Now then you can do on first, all these, I don't wanna, it's, so if we can do this, then the problem is solved. Okay, the problem is that it's not that simple, okay? So the problem is that no translation did a perfect job on this. Okay, let's try. The problem is that, you know, translators may use different words to translate the same sense, or the same word to translate different senses. Okay, and it can be subjective, and also, if you do this, I'll give you a demo, see what happens if we just take a single translation and treat every English word as a different sense. Okay. Let me see. So I have a little tool here. So let's pick a strong number. It's a Hebrew word. Okay, 639. Okay. So I pick there are a number of translations here. I pick one of the translations. Say NASB. Okay, New American Standard Bible. I just use one version. See, and then I can recompute senses. Okay. So this goes. This is very primitive. I just for my experiment. So this goes to a command line program, which computes the senses of this word. Okay. So now it's loading the translations. And okay. So it's done. Okay. So then, and then we can say show senses. Okay. So show me the senses. It found 38 senses. Okay, what does that mean? That means 38 different words are used in NSB to translate this this Hebrew word. Okay, so let's see what they are. So I put the output into HTML. So here, okay, you see the top on top, you see the 38 senses. Okay, so the first sense, here we see the first sense. Oh, maybe I shouldn't, maybe it's too much information here. Let me do that. I only want to show English translations here, Chinese translations. So I just do English. You can less distraction. Yeah. So it's 38. Actually, I tried the other versions too. Select. I think in HCSB I got 81, and in some other the six. It's a anyway different. Okay. So here you can see. Okay. Sense one. These are all the. These are occurrences in those different actual verses. So in this Genesis 24:20, we found what instance of this, which means translate a rage. Well, it's a rage in HCSB and anger in NASB. Okay, then we can see there's a lot of these. This is the main sense. So this the main sense of this word is anger or something like that. It's a lot. It's a lot. Okay, and then we look at number two. We see it's a brow. Face basically means face. Okay, it's a lot. It's those means face. Number three, nostrils. Okay. Number four, nose. Number five. Oh, it became as wrath. Basically. So here's a problem. Actually, wrath and anger. You know, usually most lexicographers like think they are actually this kind of same sense. Okay. So this is a problem. So it's a wrath and another one is isolated. I mean, the angry, and and angry, lots of different angries, and the snot. Snot, snot is kind of nose, but whatever. Yeah. So related to patience. It's interesting. Yeah. So patience that related to anger actually. So, anyways, this is a. Okay, so this is what we get. Use a single translation, and treat every word different translation as a sense. Then we see the problems. I saw the problems. So Then the next step, I use the called the voting approach. Okay, so what I'm talking all very simple. It's, it should be you know, easy to understand. It's very simple ideas. So we use multiple translations. Right? Okay, hopefully the you know different translations kind of cover the different aspects of the word. You know, so they kind of balance out. Yeah, use different. Then here, if you use multiple translation, we say two instances of a word is considered to have the same sense if most of the translations use the same word to translate it, okay? Or you can the other way, say, so most translations use different words to translate those, or they have different senses, okay? And, but the problem is how to define most, okay? How many votes do you need to make a decision, okay? Whether they go together or not, okay? So, we can go, you know, maximal agreement, okay? That means if we have four translations, for example, then all the four have to agree. That means all the four translations must use the same word to translate it in order for this word to be considered, for the instance to be considered in the same sense, okay? So of course, if we do this, I think it's a pretty, since four votes, it will be we will achieve internal consistency within groups. Each group, they do belong together, okay? But there will be too many senses, you know, it's hard to get agreement on for everybody. And so there will be a lot of fragments, I think. So we can try one. And here again, so let's say if we use four different versions, okay? And go maximum on this. And see how many senses it will get now. Yeah, sorry, it takes time, and it's loading the translations. I should have run a couple more times before I started. The SQL Server works faster during the second time you do it. Okay. Okay. So here, let's say if your senses, as you can see here, it's a 117. Then things get getting worse. Okay, you have four different translations, and they have more disagreements. So they say the only thing they can agree. So if they have to, they all have to agree. There are so many different senses. Okay, 117. So you can say, number one, I think is still anger. Number two, another anger. Number three, nostrils. Number four, nose. Number five, face, not bad. Six, another kind of face. Another anger, you know, danger, wrath. Anyway, okay. So that's still not what we want. So the problem, and then if we go minimal agreement, that means, you know, just whatever goes, you know, if we can find any translation, if they say translation way, we could treat them as same. Then it's really, I don't want to show you this, it's really a mess. okay. It's everything mixed together, okay. So, what do we do? So what I did is, actually this problem is a standard kind of problem for clustering. So I can use all the translation as features to just bring a standard clustering algorithm to do this. And I decided to write the algorithm myself. So the clustering part is not a black box and what's going on there. So I did my own. You have time? Okay. All right. So basically, we want to try to get the benefits of both maximal and minimal agreement and avoid the disadvantages. Okay. So this is what I did. So I first start with maximal agreement to get initial sense groups that are internally consistent. So that's what I did just now. There's like 117 senses, okay? We got this maximum agreement. What's good about this is that, although it's too fragmentary, but the instances in each group, they do get grouped together. They do have the same senses. It's pretty safe because they got four votes, so many different votes. Okay, but then as you can see, you just now saw in the output, there are obviously many senses can be merged, right? They should be merged together, not too many. So I gradually merged initial groups with decreasing number of agreements, and then with a variable a variable association rate, okay, called the women called N. So N means how many votes, okay? The first you require 4 votes, then you require 3 votes, then 2 votes, and 1 vote, it's going down like this, okay? And meanwhile, there's a association rate. So see, I'll discuss this in the next slide, okay? So if they, do this. So if they can agree on how, so many votes with a given association rate, then I merge them together, okay? So here, so I say group B is merged into group A if A contains B. And A contains B if each instance in B is linked to at least R of the instances in A by N agreements. It's kind of hard to understand. I'll show you an example, okay? So we do this pairwise for each group, then merge them together. So I just draw a picture here. Okay, so suppose I got two sense groups here. This is sense one, this is sense two. Okay, and these are their instances, okay? And each instance has some translations related to it, right? English translation, yeah. And so what I do is for each of them, okay, see if I can find between these have translations. So if N is three, for example, okay, so these two of them must have at least 3 identical translations in order to establish a link between here to here, okay? At least, it means this word is translated the same way, at least in 3 different translations, right? All right, so in this way you can get a link. And I for each of those, I do this, you know, to for this. And if we can link, do this for each of them, then, okay, so this one is kind of linked, total linked. So this one has to be linked to each one of those by so many votes, okay? And then for this one, again, same thing. Okay, so here, let's say we succeeded for 5 of the 10 under there. And the others, maybe they can link to some of the ones up there, but not all of them. Then they are out, okay? Yeah. And but if for each, so here we found 5 of them which are able to link to all of the instances already in the group by 3 votes or 2 votes, or something. So in this case, the association rate, if our association is greater or equal than 50%, then well, they merge. If it's lower, they don't merge. Okay, that's I hope I made this clear. So, so anyway, so they merge. So, for example, I call it progressive merging. So let's say maximal is 4, and the association is 70%. Then first, then you can do 3 merges. So you merge one, you set it to 3 votes, okay? So B merge into A if each instance in B is linked to at least 70% of instances in A by sharing the same translation in at least 3 versions. It's kind of wordy, but you saw the idea, right? Okay, see what happens here. So I can give you a demo. Close this. Suppose I got these 4 English translations here, okay, HSB, NSB, and KJV, New King James. And this is another interlinear I got. It's not a translation, but it's interlinear I got from somewhere else. So these 4 different English translations. And if I don't do any merges, say 0 merges, I just said this as 0.70%, okay? And if no merge, we just saw the results, okay? 117. So if I go do 1 merge, just 1 merge once, and so it's calculated. We expect many sense to be merged together, okay? And we can see how many we get now. Still not faster. Okay, you can see actually if you see that the dot in the command, you saw that. So we used to have 117, and now we will have 46. Right. So we have 46. And it stays at the 1 for a long time because most of the senses are in sense 1. It's kind of writing it to. Okay. Yeah, so now I have 46 senses. Yeah, this one is rage, anger. Second one is face, nostrils. Nose, anger again. Another anger. See, you know, the anger is still not merged enough. Okay, so now we do another one. So I do two merges here. You see, we will do merge. Basically, I do merges until we get a granularity we like, a sweet spot. So now it goes again, and see if. Okay, I already see it now has 20 senses, and as if you see this, say it's one of 20, and see how it looks like. Yeah, too many instances in one. Okay, so here, so anger, face, nostrils, nose, still have some anger out there. Burning anger, anger, anger. Oh, this in front of, in front, before, or in front, it's kind of fake, related to face or something. In front, okay. All right, so I'm still not happy with this. And let's do a third merge. So if we do three merges this time. I did this because, you know, for some words, you may be happy with two merges. And there's some, yeah. But I found, in general, it takes, now it has six senses. That sounds more reasonable, okay? It's not like a dictionary, but six senses is more reasonable. So let's see. So it's six senses. I found that it's, the number merges we grew is that the best one is n minus 1. So if you have, say you have 10 different translations, you merge 9 times. If you have 8, you merge 7 times. And I think, there's a reason behind this. So now, okay, sense 1, sorry. Sense 1 is rage, okay. Anger, sense 2 is face. Sense 3 is nostrils. Sense 2, nose. Oh, this doesn't show up anything, I don't know why. And number 6 is double. Okay, this is kind of isolated, double portion or something, it's out there. So we find, so this looks like more reasonable. Okay, this is something we are looking at, we are looking for. So this is more or less like, looks similar to a dictionary, like a division of senses. Okay, and we can find all the instances for each of the senses, okay, where they occur, and so on. So you can see that we can get different results by tuning the following variables. Okay, you can change the translations to use, or the number of translations to use, or the number of merges to perform, or the association rate. Actually, how much? This is it determines how tight they have to be grouped into one group. But there's a problem. Okay, so I talked about the accents of senses. So far, our sense is all based on English translations. Okay, so presumably the English speakers and the Hebrew or Greek speakers, they have different conceptions about senses. How do you know that the Hebrews think of English way? So this is from English translation. So this is the kind of sense you're looking from English. It's with the English mind. It's in English concepts, there are those different senses. Okay, but if we use different translations, then maybe we'll get some different results. Maybe Chinese think differently, okay? So this is, a triangulating. See if they do get similar results, if we look at different language. So this is English. So I did here I can check off those English translations I use for different Chinese translations to do the same thing, okay? And see what we get. And remember, we got six senses, right? By using English. And now see what we get from Chinese. Seven senses. So Chinese got 7. Okay. So let's see what they are. And Chinese. Actually, I'll talk about it later. So each Chinese has its advantages, English has its advantages. So here in Chinese, again, we've got anger. We also have English, face, okay, nose, nostrils, but in Chinese, like before, or in front of, it's separated out as a different sense. Okay, it's also reasonable, still. English, it's not wrong, right? It's still reasonable. And again, the double portion. In general, it's very similar to what we got from English, okay, but with a little bit of variation. But on the one hand, it gives us confidence that, you know, we are kind of pretty balanced, and that's not skewed to any language. And on the other hand, we do get different results by using different languages. And of course, we can, if we want to, we can use all Chinese and English, you know, and see, and now I need 7 mergers. and run this and see what we get. And we can mix and match, see what kind of results we get. Okay. Sorry for this waiting. Yes. I haven't optimized this. This is my stick. So 167, 117, 57, 32, 19, 6, down to 6. Okay. So I guess the results would be, since English and Chinese alone are not very different, this should be very similar. Okay, so again, so it's back to English. It's anger, face, nose, nostrils, and the double voices. This very similar results. And hopefully, if we have other languages, we can try, and so we can look at the senses with different angles. Maybe we can detect some senses not found in English, but in some other languages. And then we put the results together, see if what happens. Yeah. Okay, so the factors affecting the results. I looked at it, and first, of course, the versions of translations that are used, the quality of each translation, the degree of consensus between different translations, and the quality of lemmatization in English. So so we have to compare translations. It's a technical, purely technical problem. Okay, but it actually affects results a lot because, for example, for Chinese, they can have. Sometimes they say a nose, okay. They say one word, some children is a B or B zi, okay. The zi is a kind of dummy, it's a suffix something. But they mean exactly the same thing. But computer think it's two different words, okay. In English, if you don't lemmatize, if you don't get the stems, get the root forms of the words, then they will think, destroy and destroyed are two different words. Okay, or destroying, ideally even the destruction. so we have to do. I did a very primitive stammer to do this. It's not far from perfect. It did more. So at least it can catch all the irregular verbs, but not irregular. No. So this it's a lot of so because of this things cannot match because they should match but they don't match. Okay, don't match, and also. Without context, if you look single words, you cannot tell. For example, so distinguished, is it a verb or adjective? You don't know. Because if it's an adjective, it should be distinguished. But otherwise, distinguished, which way to go. And also, there's a lot of junk also in the Chinese. Sometimes they have punctuation attached to the words. And everybody has the data processing knows this. Or there's a parenthesis, and there's a... The interlinear may say two words. So instead of say father, it's a father of, you know, things like so Hebrew, the construct construction is the father of. So I have to clean up all those things. I haven't done a perfect job in this yet. I just see what the results I can get. Yeah. Also, sometimes lemmatization is not good because for sometimes the morphology actually it tells you something. So English say it's a father and a fathers. You know, when I say father, it's your father. But the fathers may be your grandfather and all ancestors. It can be ancestors. So in this case, you want the surface form. So that's kind of a dilemma. We also actually tried some different methods, other features we consider. So I've tried to use syntactic context. So since we have the trees, okay, Hebrew Greek trees, we can look at the context of each occurrence of the word. So in this sense, in this verse, this occurs as an object of X. Yeah, and this is a subject of something, or this is the modifier of another word, or it conjoins with something other word. And presumably, you know, theoretically, words that occur in similar contexts have the same sense. This is a, you know, it was, so when you look at, yeah, so if you say chips, for example, chips is ambiguous. You see, it can be potato chips or computer chips or wood chips, you know. But when you put the context, say, well, I ate the chips, probably it's a potato chips, not the computer chips, right? So if you have the context, you can tell which sense. But, so I thought, and I naively thought, well, yeah, I can use this. But I actually did this, but the results were not so good because I think it's mainly the sparse data problem. Because in many cases, many instances do not create any good context. They just don't find, and some contexts are more reliable than others. Like a verb object is pretty reliable. If a noun is used in as an object, this verb here, and used as the same verb there. These two probably the same sense because like ate the chips, they ate the chips or something. But the, like a subject verb, that's not so reliable. Like a, or adjective noun, modified, not so reliable. So finally I gave up. I threw it out. And maybe later we can explore the later, see what, is there a better way to do it. So that's something I tried. Also I look at the morphology. For example, in Hebrew, presumably the stem of the verbs, they should mean different things, right? So they should be this, they might have different sense. One is a, you know, passive, causative. Those are, I mean, so I try to use the stem to distinguish them, but because stems are too fine-grained, there's too many different stems, and also even within same stem, you're not sure what it means. Is it passive or causative? Sometimes you don't know which one it is, right? So I ended up with like a, for verbs, I might use a stems. I ended up with like, 60, 70, 80 different senses for the verb. And so I decided to take it out in the end. So that's something I tried. And yeah, so again, the data shown here has not been manually edited. So I just, actually Randall tried to edit some of them. And actually, during the editing, he found some problems. You know, you have, I thought automatically generate, Miranda can do some editing, then we have a perfect database, but it's not that simple. Okay. And Randall checked and found problems, and actually he gave feedback to me that prompted me to rewrite the whole thing. Okay. And so I think it's better, but still not perfect. So far the results are totally automatic, with no manual editing. If you give me some linked English translations, okay, I can give you this database like in, I think how many 5 hours, because it has to go through each of them. It's a lot of computation. Right? In 5 hours, I can give you a complete database. So for each instance, every word, each sense of this in the text, it tells you sense one, sense two. This is, you know, or these are the same sense. No, I can do this. But of course, if you want to make it better, to make it like for example, maybe you are compiling a dictionary, and you want to use this as something to start with, then we have we can edit the senses. For example, here, so I haven't tested for a long time, so it still works. So let's get that that word again. So in the editing, you could, basically the things you can do is three things. One is a merging, right? Obviously, so some senses should be merged together, okay? And another one, this is the most common one. This is the most common one. The next one is splitting. So actually, it's something that they shouldn't be the same sense. You want to split the two senses. And another case is like the sense divisions are correct, but some instances are in the wrong place. That's actually the most common, actually, right? Of course, the sense divisions, again, it's arguable. It's a judgment, right? But the sense can be in different places. So So here we got six senses. So if you think, for example, here, three and four, nose and nostrils, if you think they are the same sense, okay, if you just suppose they sense, you should be, this, you want them in the same sense. So I can go here, say, merge, merge sense four into sense three. Okay, and I say, what did I do? Merge. Uh-oh. That's why I shouldn't do something I haven't done for a long time. Anyway, we're almost all out of time, but Randall uses too many times. You know, he can prove that it works. But, so we're running out of time anyway, so I think I'll wrap up. So I don't have time for any more demos. I always thought you can give me any random word, see what you get. And so far we have used it in transition memory, concordance, consistent check, and I've mentioned advantages already, I think. It's the efficiency, objectivity, and the flexibility. You can get different granularities of the sense divisions. And in conclusion, I think we at least get a great tool for exploring and studying word senses in biblical texts. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Do you have any questions?
If I can answer, Randall can answer it. Yes.
Two questions for me. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with glosses, but what about the issue of definitions versus glosses?
So earlier Andy mentioned the problem of trying to divide the senses. So we have to use the data we have. Now, ideally, I think we would want to also include lexicons. And right now, the available lexicons, I think it would be ideal if we could get the Dictionary of Classical Hebrew, Halo Hebrew Aramaic lexicon, and what's being done, the semantic domains Hebrew lexicon that's not yet complete yet, I think. So if we can get that data in as well, then we can actually do a comparison of what the lexicons do in dividing the senses and what the translations do. So then you can actually play with it. And you can actually go behind the lexicons and see, okay, in what ways, what are the differences with lexicon? Why are they different? Where the differences are? And then scholars can go in and actually do more study and come up with better definitions, come up with better classifications. So I think this is a tool that you can really build upon, but we have a sparse data problem. We cannot, at this point, we don't have access to that kind of data. And I think if we have information from different languages, not only translations of lexicons, then we can also come closer to solving the problem of coming to define a Greek and Hebrew word really more from the perspective of a particular language like English. So, like when you're doing, let's say even body parts, so there's certain, you still have the same body parts objectively, but different cultures may have different divisions of where they lump that, okay? So when you translate, you may end up with more with the basic body part that say one word in Hebrew, you may need two in English or three in Chinese. Mm-hmm. So you can have that. Or when you're trying to define a word that has application to different kind of things like human, non-human items, you may use the same word for one language for human and non-human, but in a different language you actually have a different word for human and non-human. So a lot of things like that come up when you're trying to define. So you can try a purely logical definition, but you come to the problem of lumping, splitting. Some lexicographers will just do a very, very purely logical, very general description that can cover everything, but then it becomes difficult to use.
Yeah, so, I think it's a very good idea, the definitions. Yeah, it's if we can use that, it will improve it. First problem is that we don't have the definitions. I mean, at least don't have them in electronic form, that kind of form we can use, okay? And so we have to first have the data, as Randall mentioned, data. And if we do have the definitions, we can actually compare the similarity of the definitions, right? But in order to do that, we have to, again, it's a language processing problem. So you have to Actually, I did this in Microsoft. In Microsoft, they when I worked in the Microsoft research, they did this for English. So they took the Lawman dictionary, they took all the definitions, they parsed every definition as a sentence. They parsed all the definitions and then took out all the semantic relationships in the definition and compared the relationships with each other, see which these two words are similar. This is not new technology. It's a processing problem. It's a lot of work. you have to get the definitions. You have to parse them. You have a good parser to parse them. Then you have to from parser have to get the logic and then the semantic representation out of it. Then do the logical inference. You can see if this implies this similar or something. Of course, you can do a very coarse one. You can do it just raw text, just to compare the text on surface text how similar the texts are. That also can help, I think, but it's a very good idea, but it's hard to do. Yeah. And the other question? Two questions.
I was just curious if that sense program is available. It sounds, maybe the one that you were using, mm-hmm. is that something only internal for mm-hmm. Bible Society, or is that a program that others can use?
Yeah, well, right now it's internal, yeah. Okay. If you use that talk to, yeah. Yes. Let me see. About association rate and the merges.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. Yeah. Actually, I think the main the two variables and how many merges. There's three variables: how many merges, and how many votes you need to establish a link, and the association rate, and they are not equal. Actually, kind of it's a I think the most important one is the number of votes. So kind of the number of votes. So I can change the associated rate like within a certain given number of votes, the variation you get from the associated rate is very very small. So the main division is actually the main decision is made by the number of votes, and the association do some fine tuning in that. So if even you see the association rate is very high, right? But the number, so in each merge we do five different votes, and the votes is very very low, and still getting merged together. It's like that. So if you have minimal requirements on the number of votes you need, only one, for example, it's very easy to get everything linked up. And so in that case, you get linked up anyway, so the association rate doesn't really play much of a role. Yeah. Yes.
I'm just wondering, maybe my own background, mm-hmm. particularly the B group, mm-hmm. there's often doesn't mean
well, I think what we can do actually is we can actually play around with the merges and the sense distinctions. So, for instance, you could catch some of that by recognizing patterns of differences between translations. So if you see that if you merge at a lower threshold, and then you're looking at these particular translations, you think they're more sensitive to these nuances, then you can actually more easily find them systematically. But we can also eliminate them if we do a lot of merges, but we can also find them more systematically if we do less merges, and also particularly choose. We have to be sensitive to which translations we use, and then we need to be looking at those particular places where we suspect there is. Then you can actually find this tool by just adjusting the thresholds.
Something I didn't quite follow is when mm-hmm. you're taking both English and Chinese, mm-hmm. if you get six senses for English mm-hmm. and six senses for Chinese, how do you end up with not, how do you end up not getting 12 senses, in terms of how do you link the English senses to the Chinese senses?
Oh, it's the, we don't, it's not like we compute English then compute Chinese. Then okay, oh, sorry. It's not a case that we compute English, have English senses, then we have the Chinese senses, then we merge together. When we have English and Chinese, actually we the machine doesn't care whether it's English or Chinese. Chinese is just another translation. So you have four English translations and four Chinese translations. It's just eight different translations. See, it's just exactly the same as working with eight English translations. The algorithm works the same way. Machine doesn't care which. But since they have different translations, they mean it's just so Chinese translation just like different English translations. They provide more you know options, more you know variability. Yeah. Yes.
What's your sense about adding additional Bible translations, either English or Chinese or whatever language you're focusing on? Do you think that would add accuracy to your system or more noise depending on the type of translation?
Yeah, very good question. Actually, that's what I thought. If I had more and more, it will be better. Actually, it's not always the case. There can be noise because then more translation is more disagreements, and it's hard to. So I think by adding more, the major senses will be better. I mean, at least for within each sense, the instances are the good ones. But I think that some things might be left out. Something it's I don't know quite understand it yet. I did try it, and. Adding more should work better, but it depends on the which translation you are using. And if you say for example, if you add a translation which is very 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 free, very liberal, very dynamic, and this may actually add noise, I think. So, but the good thing is that in general it's okay because we are not checking if two different translations have the trend the same way. It's in the same translation. The two instances are translated the same way. So if they are free, consistently free, that's okay. Yeah, I don't have. I'm still in the process of experimenting. I don't have enough translation to play with it. So it needs. Yeah.
And just to follow up, have you looked at the examples of highest disagreement? Per sense or per word, and maybe a guide for translators to say this is something you should search for.
I haven't done this, but this is certainly something I can do. It's very easy to do. Yeah, that's another byproduct. I think that's very easy to do actually. Given all the linked translations, I think if you need something, I can give you in 2 days or something, 2 days. if you have the data. Yeah, so the data really, data speaks. So it takes a lot of time to create the data, but using the data only take hours. Yeah.
What do you have to do to create a translation that can fit into your system?
Or create a translation? How do we pick the translations?
I think
make a translation out of it? No?
Link. No. Link it. How to link it into so we can actually do this kind of search in our database.
Oh, the how to produce the linked texts?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This, I've also done this. I wrote a, there are all those, there are those packages out there. It's like IBM has the, you know, those alignment. Word alignment for machine translation. They have those alignment tools. That's given to the text of two texts. You know, comparable texts. Like the Bible is the best one. You know, comparable texts, and they can calculate which one's linked to which. But the problem is that tool is not tuned for Bible, so it can be do very well in some areas, but miss some things. Okay, it's possible to. But so I tried my own algorithm, I got like 70-80% correct, but still there are some cases that's left is not correct. But we need 100% correctness, right? So then humans still have to go there to check it. And if you actually, so for these things, checking it and doing it aren't very different in terms of time they take. You still have to look at each one. if you have, that's the problem with this. If you still have to look at each one of them, the difference between automatic and checking and just create by hand, the difference is not huge. that's my experience. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, we need the translation linked to the Greek and Hebrew, and then in a compatible form, then we can actually include an additional translation.
Yeah. So for us, we did quite a few Chinese translations linked by hand. As for HSB, we did it first with automatically, and then we checked by hand. Okay. So like this. Yeah.
Use Strong's for that, or is there?
It's mainly strong based. We also developed called Strong X, which is extended Strong, which has more distinctions. I mean, that can be say 7225A, the B. You know, it's based on especially like in Morph, the Westminster the Morph. They has like a different lemmas even for the same Strong. So we distinguish those. Yeah. Oh, sorry, there's a question out there.
Your database, what's your database schema look like? How many years do you have to do this?
The database?
Yeah.
Of what? Of the census?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. It's called the census. Census.mdb.
Yeah.
It's just an access database. Okay, so here the main table is this one. Yeah, see this there. This is the strong numbers. Okay, this is the sense number. So this is, for example, here, for one, number one. There are three senses: sense one, sense two, sense three. Here's the lemma of the Hebrew, and this is the most frequent translations. I've calculated it's the most frequent translation of this word, this sense. Okay, so this is a father. This is the ancestors. This is a like an of sense that modified. So some and then this is the Chinese translation of this sense. And here are all the instances. So this contains all the instances of the. Of the occurrences. So the instances are actually is like so it's a 15 digit it's a 14 digit number. Okay, so yeah, I just said, so each number represents an occurrence. So occurrence is a two digits for book, chapter, verse. Then it's not a word, but it's a after verse I have consonant, the beginning position of beginning consonant in that verse. Then the length in terms of the number of consonants in that word. So because if we segment differently, we can the word can change. But the number of consonants are not going to change in the. So it's just that it's a book chapter verse consonant beginning position and offset in terms of number of consonants. It's like so we did this just yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.